One demon says to another demon, "It's funny how these mortals picture us always trying to put things into their minds, when in reality, our best work is done by keeping things out." Think about that. One demon saying to another demon, "It's funny how these mortals always picture us putting things into their minds, but our best work is done by keeping things out." That's an interesting idea. That's an intriguing idea, an idea that if we follow long enough and deep enough, it's going to lead us to beg the question, how accurate is our perception of what you and I call reality? But first, mathematics. Just a simple math problem. Basic numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You with me? Here's a practice one. Shout out the answer if you know it. 1 plus 1 is... You guys are awesome. That was fantastic. So, well, it's a word problem. Anyone like word problems? You're disgusting. In this word problem, a shepherd has 26 sheep. One of them dies. How many does he have left? Shout it out. I'm sorry, you may not have heard me correctly. There's a shepherd. And a shepherd has 26 sheep, and one of them dies. How many does he have left? Shout it out. Okay, maybe you didn't hear me. I'll slow it down real quick, okay? This is a reputable story I read in a newspaper about a shepherd. A shepherd had a bunch of animals. In fact, he had a flock of them. He had a flock of 26 sheep, and one of these sheep died. And then the question that remains is, how many does he have left? Shout it out. See, maybe you still don't quite hear me. Let me slow it down just a little bit. A shepherd has 20 sick sheep. And one of them dies. And so obviously he's left with 19. Now, I get it. It was kind of dirty. That was shady. I was a little bit tricky. I deceived you. And I ask your forgiveness, I apologize, but I did it for a good reason. I did it because I wanted to point out how easily it is that you and I misperceive reality. I was saying one thing, but you were hearing something entirely different. So could it be that for most of us in this room, there's a chance that we walk around this world living, breathing, and perceiving what we think to be reality, but in reality, are so far from the truth? In my own life, I've discovered this to be true. And not that I fully grasp reality, but I at least know that I don't grasp reality. And that's one step in the right direction. Any of you ever heard of an actor named Brad Pitt? Okay, thank you for your response, because I'll be honest, I was like, I don't know if they've heard of him. I don't, like, because he's a little bit older, and I don't know how to describe him. He's like the Ryan Gosling of my generation or something like that. And then I thought, that's messed up. How could I even compare Brad Pitt to Ryan Gosling? That's horrible. But Brad Pitt was in this movie. You may have heard of this movie. It was called Fight Club. Now, I'm not I'm not recommending this movie. Okay? In fact, allow me to not recommend this movie. But there's this scene in this movie that penetrated culture when I was growing up. You heard it wherever you went, and they kind of referred to it. And I think it's a powerful idea. You've seen this movie, Fight Club. It's about this illegal underground fight club. And Brad Pitt is welcoming a bunch of newcomers to this top secret meeting. And he says to him, "Welcome to Fight Club. The first rule of Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club." Because reality is, if people started talking about Fight Club, what they had going would be dispersed. People would catch on, and they would know what was going on underground. Well, no, I'm no Brad Pitt, but I'd like to welcome you to Catholic Fight Club. Now, hold on, before you punch the person sitting next to you. Really? Catholic Fight Club is not what you think it is. It's probably drastically different. Catholic Fight Club doesn't mean that when we leave this place, we're going to go out and get into a bunch of fights. Catholic Fight Club is about the fact that we are already in a fight. Catholic Fight Club is about the fact that we are born into a war. And a lot of people don't want to talk about this. They tell us to keep that first rule. Just don't talk about Catholic Fight Club. A lot of people in the church get very uncomfortable when we talk about this. But our lives are at stake. More so, our eternal lives are at stake. And so we have to talk about this. You see, in the last book of the Bible, God gives John a vision of reality. Not just a flesh and bone, a half reality, but a flesh, bone, and spirit. He lets him see the spiritual reality of what's going on around him. And in this vision, John sees Mary. It says, clothed with the sun, with a moon under her feet. And John sees that Mary is giving birth to Christ our Savior. And John also sees a dragon who is waiting to devour the child. And as Mary gives birth, the dragon is prevented from devouring the child. And so he becomes angry, becomes furious. And then this is what happens. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. The dragon and its angels fought back, but they did not prevail, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The huge dragon, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was thrown down to the earth, and its angels were thrown down with it. This giant dragon that John sees is not just a symbol, it's a being, Satan. And Satan is so mad at the fact that he cannot overthrow the birth of Christ that he turns his sights on the woman. And you go read further and it says that he begins to pursue the woman to destroy her. But yet again, he's prevented from destroying the woman. So then further on, we read out of anger, here's what he does. Verse 17. Then the dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring. Those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. Stop and let that reality sink in for a second. Did you hear what it said? That Satan could not defeat God. And so he turns his eyes to the woman's offspring. Those who believed in God, those who bore witness to Jesus Christ, you and I. Because God is undefeatable. Satan can't hold a candle to God. In his anger, he tries to go against God, but God cannot be touched. And so he cannot begin to hurt God, so he turns his sights to the very thing that was made in God's image. You and I. You and I bearing the resemblance of our Creator brings disgust to Satan. You and I being loved so much that God would leave heaven and come to earth to be nailed to a cross infuriates the devil. And because he can't hurt God, his next resort is to try to destroy us in some sort of attempt to get back at God. And I know a lot of us, we don't like to talk about Satan. We don't like to talk about the devil. But this is real. This is a reality we have to talk about. Think about for a second, Hitler. If no one ever knew the atrocities he was committing, would he have ever been stopped? If America, if Allied forces did not know the evil he was doing, would he have been stopped? This is why we have to talk about the reality of this war. Because we were born into it. We're not bystanders. We're not watching it happen. We are the battlefield. Your soul is on the line. Hell has handcrafted a plan to destroy you. You're not an innocent person watching. You are the very field in which this eternal combat takes place. And the devil doesn't want you to stop and think about it. Because if you don't think about it, if he's far from your mind, then you have nothing really to be concerned with. There's this French poet named Charles Baudelaire. He said, the finest trick the devil could ever pull would be to persuade you to think that he doesn't exist. Listen one more time. The finest trick that devil ever could pull is to persuade you that he doesn't exist. And you know what? For a lot of reality, for a lot of our society, it's working. Because to us, the devil is, he's a comical figure. He's this guy in red tights and he has horns and he walks around poking people. Right? Or he's just entertainment. He's just in some sort of movie that scares us. He's not real. Or it's just some stupid game that we play with our friends, like the Ouija board or that Charlie game. See, the reality is, I don't care if that game was some sort of viral marketing stunt or not. The devil wants you to think it's fun. The devil wants you to think it's entertainment. The devil wants you to think it's harmless. Because if you think he's harmless, he has us right where he wants us. There's nothing more that Satan would love than for you to think that he's harmless, for you to think that he's a figment of your imagination. Because, you see, his attack isn't like this big, you know, overt kind of you knock on the door and he's like, hello? No, shut that door. Like, it's not like that, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to go home and, like, all of a sudden your bed's going to start levitating. It's like, it's not going to happen for most of us that way. It's going to be a lot more subtle. And it's probably not even going to look like Satan. It's not going to look like what we think him to be. And it's working. In 2009, do you realize that over 60% of people who profess to be a Christian denied the existence of Satan? That's a real statistic. In 2009, over 60% of people who profess to be a Christian said that Satan is not real. Rather, he's just a symbol of evil things when they happen. Do you think he loves that statistic? Absolutely. Because if he's not real, then we have nothing to worry about. But he is real. And Christ himself came into combat with him many times throughout Scripture. And he describes him in a lot of different ways. But one of the ways he describes him is as a thief. And you'll find here in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that the thief comes to steal, slaughter, and destroy. Listen to those words. Steal, slaughter, and destroy. Let those words sink in for a second. You know, if you've ever had someone steal something from you, you know how violated that feels. If you've ever had someone break into your house, you know how unnerving that feels. You can't shake that feeling. It goes with you wherever you go for the next couple days. Slaughter. Think about the word slaughter. This is the word that is used when they line up animals and they lead them to their death. Slaughter. Destroy. Destroy. Think about these lives we've built up, even these buildings we've built up, and how like an earthquake, they can just come crumbling down, completely destroyed, not even looking like what they used to be. And this is what Satan wants to do with our lives. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does it through offering us a lie of limitless. And this is what he did to Adam and Eve in the garden. This is what he does to us today. Because he comes to Eve And Eve sees this fruit that it's good for nourishment, that it's pleasing to the eye, and Satan says, go ahead, eat it. And she says, I can't eat it. This is the one thing we can't eat from, and if we do, we'll certainly die. And Satan says, you won't die. He knows, God knows that when you eat of this fruit, you'll be like him. You'll see things as he sees things. You'll be limitless like him. You certainly won't die. And she falls for it. She enters into this sin. She eats this fruit. And death enters the picture. The limit of all of our lives, death, was a result of sin. The result of an empty lie of limitlessness from Satan himself. And I know what it's like to fall for those lies. I know what it's like to have my purity slaughtered. I know what it's like to have my identity of how I see myself completely destroyed. I know what it's like to look in the mirror and to see a failure. I know what it's like to have my family stolen from me. Whether that's my earthly family or this idea of God the Father in heaven, I know what it's like to have that identity, that image ripped from my hands, and I'm left naked and ashamed. I'm left broken and destroyed. I'm left in my death. But Jesus Christ comes to offer us authentic, abundant life. He says, though the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Don't believe these false lies of limitlessness. I will give you eternity if you just come to me. Come to me in the sacraments. Come to me in confession. Bring your sin, bring your destruction to me in the sacrament of penance, and I will breathe into you new life. This is the invitation. In 1988, in Armenia, there was a dad and a little boy. The boy's name was Armand. And they lived in this little village, kind of a small town outside of the city. And every day, this little boy, he was in elementary school. The dad would get up, and they'd get in the car, and they'd drive into the town because he had to drop Armand off at school. And every day, Armand would be so scared to leave his father's presence, so scared to go to this school. And the dad, to console him, every day before he dropped him out of school, he looked him in the eyes and he said, Armand, I will always come back for you. And that would pacify, that would give him peace, and he would go to school. And they would do this day in and day out. Then one day, the dad drove him up to the school, looked at him and said, Armand, I will always come back for you. Armand went into the school, and the dad drove back home to his town, to his house. And later on that day, an 8.2 earthquake hit the city. And in a matter of 30 seconds, the city was leveled. Over 30,000 people killed or injured or wounded. And as the father is hearing about this destruction, he gets in his car and he drives down to the city. And there's all these police barricades because the pipelines and things like that of the gas and things have been leaking, and there were fires and there could be explosions. It was not safe. And the dad goes past these police lines and he says, my son is in there. I need to go over there. And they're like, sir, if you see the school, this is where the school was. And it's just a rubble, a pile of rubble, four stories collapsed into nothing. And the dad said, I have to go in there. And so the dad crosses the line and goes to this rubble and he begins removing rock after rock from this rubble. And these other parents who are distraught are mocking him. Don't you see that they're dead? Don't you see four stories is collapsed onto them now? This is useless. What are you doing? And he continues to remove rock after rock. And the police come and say, you need to leave. It's not safe for you. It's dangerous. We have to ask you to leave. And he says, will you help me? And they say no. So he goes back and removes boulder after boulder. And he begins digging through this rubble for 12 hours, for 24 hours, for 30 hours. 36 hours, he's digging literally his knuckles to the bone. He's bleeding on these rocks as he's removing them because he promised his son that he would come for him. And around the 36th hour, he removes a boulder. And he hears something. And he begins yelling, Armand! Armand! And Armand begins to yell back, Dad! and he removes this boulder, and he looks down into this hole, and he sees the eyes of his son. And the son steps to the side, and there are 14 of his classmates. And he looks at his classmates and says, "See, I told you my father would come for me." This is the invitation that God offers us. In the middle of our limits and lies, when our world has come crumbling down because of our sin, when we've exchanged our purity for the lie of indecency and immorality, when we've exchanged God's divinity for this broken humanity, this is what he does. Our God has no limits. He will not stop. He will dig to the depths of hell to pull you and I out of our sin. His arm is not too short to save. The question is, will we be there reaching up when he's reaching down? Because tonight, he's reaching down. He's reaching down this weekend through prayer, through worship, through the Mass. But he's especially reaching down into the lies of your sin in the sacrament of reconciliation. And there's nothing that would upset hell more than you and I going to the sacrament of reconciliation to receive abundant life, to be remade, to be rebuilt, to know the love of our Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, you offer us limitless life, but we fall for the lies of the enemy. Lord, so often we let the thief steal, slaughter, and destroy our identities, our sexuality, our peace. Lord, we sell ourselves short. We exchange your glory for death and decay. And even if we've never made a choice towards you in our entire life, God, it's not too late, because tonight you reach your hand down. Give us the courage to reach back through the sacraments to receive your limitless mercy and love.